Once again, good evening. This is Mark Stanton Welch. This is Tools for the Times. We are on the 10th of November in the year 2015. We are on the third and final session of Block 3, Session 4, the third and final installment, and this is on embracing new paradigms of belief. And tonight is filled with lots of potential activities and some information that will help you to perhaps develop the willingness to work with your belief system and to change it and thus change the forms of how your life shows up for you and also how you respond to life, because this is where these things do take place. So I'm going to start out tonight with a couple little songs, and the first song is, I wasn't able to get the lyrics up soon enough, so it's just a short little one. I'm just going to do it a couple times. According to my faith, just as I believe it, this is the world I see. I expand and open, knowing nothing is impossible. What I expect shall be. Unlimited God in me, according to my faith, just as I believe it, this is the world I see. I expand and open, knowing nothing is impossible. What I expect shall be. Unlimited God in me. Unlimited God in me. Little medley of tunes that have to do with tonight's topic. In endless potential, I set my intent straight into this moment. My focus is set, clear in desire. I give it away. The details are handled as long as I say I let go, let go, let go. In endless potential, I set my intent straight into this moment. My focus is set, clear in desire. I give it away. The details are handled as long as I say I let go, let go, let go. That upon which I focus shall manifest to me, if I am clear with heartfelt vision, surely I shall receive that upon which I focus shall manifest to me. If I am clear with heartfelt vision, surely I shall receive that upon which I focus shall manifest to me. For if I am clear with heartfelt vision, surely I shall receive. Open to the possible, expect to receive. Trust the life within you every moment. Act and you will be dancing freely in the oneness, living out the dream, tasting every morsel this life has to offer. Become harmony. possible. Expect to receive. Trust the life within me every moment. Act and I will be dancing freely in the oneness, living out the dream, tasting every morsel this life has to offer, become harmony. Every step I take is the best one. Every move I make is the best one. Life will keep a rolling if I just keep it knowing I'm always on the bright side, the sunny light side. Every step I take is the best one. Every move I make is the best one. Life will keep a rolling if I just keep it knowing I'm always on the bright side, the sunny light side. Sunshine, I'm always in sunshine. I make my own sunshine. Ah, my eyes are open wide. My heart is filled with love. I am the perfect work of God. My eyes are open wide. My heart is filled with love. I am the perfect work of God. On and on and on. Powerful reminders of our capacity and how things seem to work in this great cosmos of ours. The use of the vehicle of chant and mantra and intentional songs, mantras like the beautiful one, Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha, which is an appeal to Ganesh to clear the way of our intention, of any blockage that might be in a way. A powerful tool for changing beliefs, for intending and manifesting that which we deserve and we desire. Lots of things, lots of support systems that exist for us, choosing to live in another way than the way that we have been programmed up till now. The reason we've stayed with belief systems for three complete sessions was because it is just so critical. It's as if it's everything that we've talked about that is rolled into one underscored experience that makes the huge difference in how things show up and how we experience this dimension. It seems like every element that we've done so far fits in to this idea of what do we believe. Because it's so critical, well, there's no other way to put it. It just is it's the marching orders for the cosmos to give us that which we intend and that which we desire. And if our belief system is in alignment with higher principle, if it is a higher frequency belief that celebrates life and sees us as unlimited beings and acts as if in that frequency, then we have that experience. It is the cosmic law that says that is the case. Everything else just supports the idea of living in that frequency. All of these tools allow us either to achieve it, to get there, or to maintain it and live it. And that's been the beauty of how this has all unfolded. In the beginning, I had no idea what the topics were going to be, but they certainly showed up the way they were, and we've made some adjustments along the way. And I just want to realize that, underscore the idea that it really all does tie together. And we are at a very critical juncture as a culture, as a race, as humanity, in terms of whether we choose to believe in these times of swift change. The idea of clinging and holding on creates a certain familiarity and a comfort zone that we've already established is not a very, actually, honestly, a safe place to be, because it's way too limiting and it keeps us from expanding out and moving forward. Where do we want to live in these times? Do we live in a place of fear? What do our eyes see when we look out? Do we see the flaw? Do we see the mess? Or do we start looking for the beauty, looking for the horse in the pile of the manure, the pony that was there when that little child saw that pile and said, "Wow, there must be a horse pony in here somewhere," and started digging through the manure? Are you like that? Are you really born to manifest your own glory? Are you buying into that idea, or are you choosing to play small? Are you choosing to recognize and buy into the limitations that have been force-fed for so long, for lifetime after lifetime? How much do you believe them? How much are you willing to stick with them? Are you willing to see something different, even though your eyes are telling you one thing or your senses are saying one thing? We established, I think we talked last time, when we said that the mind can actually alter the way we perceive reality based upon either our expectation or our belief system. When the natives, who had never experienced a boat before, stood on the shoreline, and the ripples in the water were indicating something was there, and it was the shaman who was able to shift perspective, and suddenly he saw a ship that was there in front of everyone, but they couldn't see it because they had no referent to it. It was not in their belief system. Boy, did that open the door to some change and some chaos and a lot of pain. But you know, every moment right now, every fertile moment is a point of choice for each of us. And it's easy to forget all about it, especially in these times where things shifting so much. Man, if you're on this path, stuff's shifting so quickly, and in one day it's amazing, and the next day you run into all of these walls and all of these old energies come up, and it feels like nothing has changed. And then something else is laid out. Says, what are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with this? And then if we can step back from that and see, my gosh, how quickly these things are shifting and changing. How quickly I'm able to stand in the presence of this form, embrace it, allow it, and move with it, and then watch it walk away, watch it move away, and watch me move into a higher frequency from it. These are remarkable times, and we are remarkable beings, becoming even more so, because we are reclaiming the truth of our being. And it is underneath our belief system in some ways. And this is why this is so critical to warrant 3 sessions, because something here has to speak to each of us to be willing to take these long cherished and believed beliefs and hold them up to the light and say, are you for me anymore? Do you serve me anymore? Are you just a limiting element that makes me feel like everything's okay for a breath? That's what we have to decide. Well, we don't have to. You can certainly move on in the way things have been going. We all can. And we can just sort of fade away. But I don't think we signed up for that. I believe that we all signed up, and the reason we're on this call and doing, learning these things and becoming aware and remembering all of this and reawakening is because we know that we were born for these times. That this is the payoff for the choice to incarnate, and all the boxes you checked on that entrance paper that said, yeah, I'll go through the ignorance, I'll go through the misunderstanding, the difficulty, the pain, whatever it takes for me to truly understand and to know and to put into practice the essence of who I am, not only the essence, but the whole of who I am, and let it unfold and let it reveal itself to me. I am a willing participant. Check. We're going in. I believe that every one of us stood at that precipice, at that point of entrance, and made these decisions and said, I am willing. And it's played out the way it's played out. It's honed each of our frequencies to a beautiful, beautiful resonance that is an attractant, and it also is a healing vehicle in itself. And the more you keep saying yes to these kinds of things and putting any of them into action, any of them into practice, any of them into belief, then we just keep raising the vibration, which then in this beautiful dance that goes on, the more we choose to do it, the more it reveals to us, and the more it gives us reasons to keep choosing to be a part of it. It is a spiraling journey that is moving fast. We looked in this whole thing here on beliefs. We looked at the idea of beliefs, the increasing evidence. Not for long. I didn't go into it too much about the way that the beliefs affect the biology. And because of that, it allows us to actually change the forms of things within us and then by law without us, outside of us. We looked at how beliefs happen. It's very simple. They pretty much do it through focus and repetition. And then when you stick emotion into the whole thing, it really ups the ante. Look at how the choice and as if and repetition, all of those elements are critical. We looked at the idea that the chakras in belief, that they all of the chakras feed and feed off of and feed into the beliefs that we carry. And the beliefs themselves can be energetic amplification for something beautiful within us, or they can be the very vehicle that causes us to topple into a place of disease. We choose. And then we saw the undercurrent of what has been a part of every single one of these tools of the times, which was using awareness. It all came down to awareness because it's the fertile ground. Open to the possible. And then you expect to receive. Trust the life within you every moment. Act and you will be. Open, expect, trust, act. Those four words came from the book with Sonia Choquette on Heart's Desire. And out of those, I created this tune. Actually, it was in the psychic pathway now that I remember that. But they were powerful words and powerful tools based upon so many of the elements that have been around for a long, long time in the metaphysical community. A different slant, a different way of saying that which has been already established, but it worked. Open, expect, trust, and act, and then the universe shows up for us in alignment with that. We had an extensive list of old paradigms, and I put them there because we have all been under the influence of those, and some of us have bought into them lock, stock, and barrel. Some of us have basically said, well, that's not true, but this one is, but this one, I don't know. I don't know. I can still feel the pull and the lure of that one. But I would submit that every one of those elements on the old paradigms is worth tossing into the old the garbage, the incinerator, into the ocean, wherever you want to send it. It just doesn't serve us anymore. Anything that hints limitation is worth tossing. And that doesn't mean we go out there the boss of the world, but we go out there in our place of presence and power, openness, love, and our capacity to be the very frequency that we are. And it becomes just a beautiful dance. I gave a list of a bunch of new paradigms to consider. The kinds of things that are already beginning to awaken within you even before you started this course. The things that have pulled you along life through the elements that have come your way. They have been the callings from the distance. And here we are at a time when we're beginning to actually make manifest these new belief paradigms. And really, and so because of those elements, we decided to look into how to create and maintain these new beliefs. With the idea of the neurosculpting, it's a very extensive section in there that I took directly from the book with all due respect, but, you know, this lady said it the best, and this lady is Lisa Wimberger. I want to do a couple of these now that I'm looking at them. She called them inquiry exercises. And there's enough of them there that it can walk you through. And you can get her book, you know, support her in that process. It's a powerful book. Doing things differently. I hope that you spend some time this week doing things a little bit differently. walking in a different direction, putting your shoes on backwards, walking backwards as you went through the store. You probably didn't do those, but at least you probably, you quite possibly could have picked up something with something with your left hand instead of your right, combed your hair with the left hand instead of the right hand, picked up the toothpaste or the toothbrush with the left hand and worked with that, because it opened up the brain and the neuroplasticity of those neurons, and all of that chemical energy in there gets altered when we set up that fertile ground of change. And that's the place where we begin to see the new beliefs. So really, it is about expansive thinking, but it really is exercising the brain so that we can implant these new seeds of belief, these new paradigms that we are talking about the way the universe is set up, about the way life is, about what's going on in this dimension, about how life on Earth is, about what is bequeathed us by birth. Just going to grab one here. It says, neurons communicate through electrical and chemical signals using, among other things, ions. According to the quantum Zeno effect discovered in 1977, well, who can forget that? Ions are affected when observed. When we observe our thoughts or stories, we affect the way the neurons and the ions function. Are you kidding me? Yes, it's true. So the question she puts out is, what one repeated thought will you notice today? Remember, awareness is the launching pad. It's the diving board into the pool. When you catch a thought that just keeps playing with you, it has been there like an old worn pair of shoes or old pair of boots that is so comfortable you couldn't believe and entertain the possibility that it's even... It's doing anything except creating a loving experience, when all along it's the one thing it keeps you diverting from the magnificence of you, of who you are, of accepting that. Perhaps that's the thought. These are really worth thinking about. Jeffrey West, physicist at the Santa Fe Institute, notes that a human brain at rest uses 90 watts, 250 watts for a hunter-gatherer in the Amazon, and 11,000 watts per person for the American lifestyle using all of our modern conveniences. Owie. No wonder we get headaches. A human brain at rest uses 90 watts. 250 watts for a hunter-gatherer in the Amazon, 11,000 watts for a person in the American lifestyle, using all of these conveniences. Innovation and technology place quite an exhaustive tax on our prefrontal cortex, which needs to consume and then generate more innovation to keep pace. Meditation helps exercise the free prefrontal cortex. What will you do today to bring down your own wattage consumption and feed your head? She asks. Once a week, once a day, 10 times a day, whatever. Read one of these. Use them as resources. They're powerful. You can see where they start to move you in a different direction. Again, it's awareness. The more aware we become, the more we see the illusions that we have all agreed upon. At the bottom of that page, it says more inquiry exercises. I'm going to do one more because these are great fun. Again, I'm just going to choose one randomly. Here it says, the brain can be wired to make us either avoidance-directed people or goal-directed people. An avoidance-directed statement would be, floss regularly to avoid gum disease. A goal-directed statement would be, floss to have healthy gums. Motivation only happens if we are getting the message in a manner to which we are wired to respond. The avoidance-directed person won't be motivated by the goal-directed statement, and vice versa. So she says, notice throughout your day if you are avoidance or goal-directed, and begin using that knowledge to motivate you in areas you'd like to change. We are wired at this point to respond to negativity. That has been a learned behavior, and the brain seems like it notices the flaw. It looks for the issue. It looks for the blame. It puts all of these things, but these are all learned behaviors that the brain has dutifully said, okay, I'll burn some neurons, create some pathways for you for that so you can do it. You betcha, because the universe always says yes. It always says yes, just as the subconscious mind does. Look how fun those are. Look how fun. In the empowerments, we had pictures on the wall. This is where you took these elements that you figured were pivotal elements in your life and put them on the wall as pictures. And then you and your child went ahead and took each one of them down, put them away. I think they even dissolved or something. I can't remember what I did on this. That's worth doing now and then. Purifying thought and belief chakra empowerment. This is where, God, I just can't remember if we did this or not. Then we had victim to creator, from victim to creator. And then, okay, now let's reframe that. I'm going to believe that we did this first two and the second one. This victim to co-creator, I want to play with this one a bit. And if you've heard this one before, in other words, that we did it, then star six and let me know that, and then we'll move on to something else. But I'm getting the feeling we didn't do it because it's speaking pretty loudly. I know people, and in fact, I do know people, and in fact, I have actually believed it myself at times when things seem overwhelming that life just happens to me. The victim consciousness is rampant in civilization because it's a fear-based element, and so with a fear-based element, something has to happen to you because the invitation is that the fear comes and then something happens to us. That's the expectation that's put out when we choose that. Let me read what I said here. There's nothing in current esoteric and ethereal perspectives in this burgeoning time of change that supports that time-worn belief that life happens to us and makes us feel like victims, helpless, hapless, hesitant, and harried. Rather, we have a higher self that serves to bring us the perfect situational form to assist in clearing the stuck old energies, in reawakening an element of our divine template, in healing the misperceptions of self and saving our wounded parts, in tossing us into the now moment that screams, you have what is necessary to wake up fully. Stop doubting and quit paying attention in any way to the tendency to settle for old beliefs and patterns that you know do not serve you. You are not a victim unless you so desire to claim and affirm. Your attitude of less than is like an old shack you keep going back to. It is filled with a frothing mass of disappointments covered in frosting, calling your name in a wimpy, uninspiring voice. I know that building. Nothing about the shack is inviting except its familiarity. The appeal oscillates between seeing it for what it is and a tattered veil imprinted with home sweet home. You have so outgrown this worn-out delusion, and it is time to do something about it. So let's do something about it. There's not a victim on this line. Never has been, there never will be. Each one of us has full awareness. We just have to claim it. So let's claim it. So I invite you in the count of three to speak your true name out loud. We'll set a frequency for this little activity. 1, 2, 3, Mark Stanton Welch. And in that frequency, I twist and turn a little bit in my chair to release any energies that might be in the way and resisting. So let's go back to the little old shack. I invite you, breathe into your belly three times as you become aware of your feet on the earth. And aware of also the Earth Star Chakra below those feet. that ascend in mighty, mighty power up through your left foot and leg to sweep through you with an endless stream of yeses and I can. So let that move up through you. And this time, as it moves through you, you just get this idea that like little clouds with names on them, there's yes and I can all over those. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. So now I invite you to stand right at the doorway, just inside the threshold. You're inside this cabin. You're inside there. So you're standing at the doorway looking at the threshold, looking over, outward and over in the threshold to Stand at the doorway, just inside the threshold, and look out at the panorama of possibility out there in its splendor. And it's inviting full-color magnificence. Look out that door and see. It's the only way to look out right now. It's like looking from black and white into color. One-dimensional into 12 dimensions. Just look out there. Notice what you see. Stand at the doorway just inside the threshold and look out at the panorama of possibility out there in its splendor. And it's inviting full-color magnificence. And someone approaches. They have an eviction notice. It's clearly visible in their right hand. You smile. And without hesitation, you step over the threshold to accept the notice with a firm left-handed grip. Thank you, my man. The sound of a voice from all around you speaks, you are a co-creator. Manifest your clear intentions only. The cosmos is here to support you with the immediate results of your blessed intention, if you so choose. If you so choose. One breath later, you sign on the dotted line and with a flourish and a rebel yell, yoo-hoo! The lights go up as if the sun has burst through a cloud bank. This dingy old shack is suddenly completely filled with light. And on the surrounding hillside, overlooking the dark valley where the shack has been built, you see a host of beings with various tools of construction and deconstruction. Hammers, sledgehammers, bats, rocks, even jackhammers, bulldozers, and cranes, and they're all headed your way. One particularly high vibrational being comes forward to hand you a golden hammer. She speaks your name. And she says, it is time. And without hesitation, you turn back towards the dilapidated shack and you strike the first blow. Bam! Your memories of loss shatter. Bam! Another blow. The times of giving up and running away disintegrate like dust in the wind. Bam! The boards of the place built with your wounds and personal judgments and criticisms explode with the next slam of that golden hammer. Bam! 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 Over and over, the blows fall upon the structure, releasing every trace of the victimhood you have nearly sold your soul to for so long. So long. Bam! 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 The debris turns to white light as the beings, one and all, descend to circle the now clear location. It's like a disintegrated, turned to dust, ashes to ashes, disintegrated, and now a clear space in the light. And as one, you breathe together and speak your holy name seven times. Mark Stanton Welch. 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 The light sparkles and reveals this multicolored structure that is fresh and vibrant and inviting. Right there before you. It has air. It has water. And surrounded by life and rays of infinite possibility. Look at it. Listen. Touch. Catch the fragrance. Catch the smell of infinite possibility that's there. You've co-created this with the beings aligned to your frequency. And one by one, they enter this home, or they find a comfortable place in the yard. You breathe one more time to your belly, and you sigh out, I am that I am. Again, I am that I am. And again, I am that I am. Knowing that your moments now are fully supported in sympathetic vibrations that will collectively make manifest that which you desire. No exceptions. No exceptions. You smile and you give great thanks for the form of this moment, this incredible moment. And you walk inside that room. It is a place of now of creation. It is a place of manifestation. It is a place where the light infuses everything that you intend. So it is. So it is. According to my faith, just as I believe it, this is the world I see. I expand and open, knowing nothing is impossible. What I expect shall be. Unlimited God in me. According to my faith, according to my devotion to my beliefs, this is what manifests and makes itself known to me. Take a breath. Speak your true name. 1, 2, 3. Mark Stanton Welch. Beautiful frequency. Okay. Now, let's reframe that. Another empowerment here. Here's some information. Memories are selective in their revelation. I think we did this one. I'm going to trust that we did. I'm going to trust that sound. And I'm going to go back to the front page, get out of that, and I'm going to additional exercises. And I'm going to start again with something I believe I did do, or at least I read it, and I'm going to start at the top of the page where it says re-educating the self. Because these key re-educational points are the foundation of transforming in these times. So let's make sure we're clear on what they are, and let's resonate the sound with them. I'm going to say in you form, but then we're going to repeat it with an I form afterwards. Might be a little tricky, but I think we can do it. For example, I say, you are not who you have been taught to believe you are. You are so much more. And then we repeat and say, I am not who I've been taught to believe I am. I am so much more. And then I say, your well-being does not depend upon anything except how you respond to the form of your moments. And then we say, my well-being does not depend upon anything except how I respond to the form of my moments. And then I say, that which is brought to you in your life is a carefully orchestrated dance that provides you with the best opportunity to remember fully who you are. And we repeat, that which is brought to me in my life is a carefully orchestrated dance that provides me with the best opportunity to remember fully who I am. And I say, the blame game is an exercise in futility. Seek your own information, awareness, and learning in the experience of the moment. Monitor and adjust your own energy. Hold on to nothing and seek clarity. And we say, the blame game is an exercise in futility. I seek my own information, my own awareness, and learning in the experience of the moment. I monitor and adjust my own energy. Hold on to nothing and seek clarity. Those are my rules for the road. And I say, your carefully manicured comfort zone is actually a very unsafe place. It limits you and cycles in habits, patterns, misinformation, woundings that only serve to stunt your growth and postpone your reawakening. And we say, my carefully manicured comfort zone is actually a very unsafe place. It limits me and cycles in habits, patterns, misinformation, woundings that only serve to stunt my growth and postpone my reawakening. And then I say, what you believe about yourself is what matters in the now. Others' opinions and treatments are actually a reflection of your own unawareness, a gift of light. And then we say, what I believe about myself is what matters in the now. Others' opinions and treatments are actually a reflection of my own unawareness, a gift of light. And I say, the forms of your life can be altered by doing things differently, thinking, perceiving, responding instead of reacting, speaking, believing. Oh, I say, okay, I get it. And we say together, the forms of my life can be altered by doing things differently, thinking, perceiving, responding instead of reacting, speaking, believing. Yes, this is what I do. And then I say to you, the higher your vibration, the more likely you will attract higher frequency beings, in addition to those who want to use your light to help themselves. Thus, tending your energetic boundaries is of primary importance. And we say, the higher my vibration, the more likely I will attract higher frequency beings, in addition to those who want to use my light to help themselves. Thus, tending my energetic boundaries is of primary importance. I say, we are individually and collectively preparing for the oneness. Your thriving in this state depends on your clarity, being free of energetic debris, being clear in the understanding of the truth of your being, stepping off the Piscean patterns of living your life, building your foundation and total investment in the frequency of love, being fully invested in flow, gratitude, compassion, abundance, and grace. And we say, I am individually and collectively preparing for oneness. We are. My thriving in this state depends on my clarity, being free of energetic debris, being clear in the understanding of the truth of my being, stepping off the Piscean patterns of living my life, building my foundation and total investment in the frequency of love, being fully invested in flow, gratitude, compassion, abundance, and grace. And finally, I say, you are programmed to thrive in this earthly paradise. It was designed as a profound support to ensure this. Use it and treat it as such. And we say, I am programmed to thrive in this earthly paradise. It was designed as a profound support to ensure this. I shall use it and treat it as such. And so it is. And so it is. And so it is. Let's just stay with us to the heart center, returning home. Heart center has always been the center of our being. The root chakra throughout the Piscean times was considered foundation as the connection to the earth was so critical. The root chakra throughout the Piscean times was considered foundation as the connection to the earth was so critical. We required the earth frequencies and power to navigate the demanding times of learned limitation. And the crown chakra and beyond... The crown chakra and beyond was often used as a means to escape the physical. Belief systems translated this into a paradigm of less than, limited, controlled, and doomed, only saved by a fickle man-like God in the land above. The last 25-plus years have given rise to the arrival of the feminine frequency of heart-centered love on the wings of the Aquarian Age. In response, those of a higher vibration were triggered to remember that the heart chakra was a new frequency of foundation, the root of oneness and belief and expression. More and more have turned to the higher love vibration to assist in the movement towards whole earth connection. The heart chakra, through the work of the HeartMath program, has been demonstrated to be an overseeing... Oops. I did some cut and paste and left out something that looks kind of important. Demonstrated to be a... overseeing the higher awakenings that have been sweeping this beautiful planet. I'll fill that in here once I figure out what it was that I didn't put in. It would follow that to stay as much as possible in the love frequency of the heart would be the most beneficial choice that would steadily reveal the true nature of things and route to a much more peaceful life for all. But there is resistance and hesitation and fear for so many. The energy runs right into the waves of the new times, compromising the experience temporarily for many. Old belief systems, as a result, hang around and lure many to reconsider the evolving paradigm that is revealing itself to all. Beliefs tempered by the heart are solid. And to this end, it is advisable to direct your awareness, your energy, and action. And I intend to put in two or three different heart-focused activities. We'll do a couple of them, and then the others will be available when you get the reception tomorrow of the links. Living in the heart reveals that there is no limitation, no boundaries, and no separation between you and all forms of life. To believe this is to invite in the experience that reflects this. The heart is a doorway between you and the cosmos, to the you of the past, present, and future. To open it, you choose to live your life, get involved, stop reading about what to do and be, and just take action. Go out and practice empathy, compassion, courage, and truthfulness in everything you do with everyone you meet. Really? Yes, really. Truthfully, your heart will show you the way once you tune in, turn to living from that space instead of behind the eyes. And you know what I'm talking about. We live behind our eyes and look out at the world as it comes towards us. Engage. Be a part of that process of momentum and moving forward from the heart. So stop seeing separateness. Look for your peace in the perceptions that see others differently, in your perceptions that see others differently. When I find fault, own it. Own what it is that I'm seeing and own and look for the place where it lives in me. This is New Age cliche, but damn it, it's true. It is legitimate. We see that which we have been focused upon. And if it's something that demeans or damages, then there's a good chance, a 99% chance that it is our own stuff that we are being shown. Run your experiences and perceptions through your heart first. Breathe into the heart and bring those ideas down and listen. And then respond. Listen and then hear the response. In this space, there is no good and no bad in this heart space. Things are just the way they are for now. Look beyond the perceived form. Ask for clarity and listen from and to your heart. Pay attention to the flow of feelings. They are energetic clues. Run your beliefs through your heart space, asking for clarification and revelation. Do they serve you or not? If not, then cast them adrift and move into the higher frequency of living. Bring your beliefs into alignment with your rising and revealing vibration. These actions feed one another and propel you into more profound awareness and understanding and experience. Refrain completely from judgment and criticism, choosing the option of discernment instead, gathering information, guidance, and the big picture to enlighten you to the present, to be present and loving in your choices. There's a lot in that paragraph. Come back to it and visit it. When I took Egyptian Huna, it referred to the heart as the seat of the soul. We learned an empowerment called the Abtek Basa. The Abtek Basa. It simultaneously opens and clears the heart to reveal a deeper you with greater access to your own I am that I am expressing as you. Couple this with an attitude and a choice to employ self-acceptance with a willingness to be giving and receptive. That should be coupling this with. Willing and receptive will lift you into the pure love frequency in a spiraling movement. I apologize for the typos. Some of this just came through. So what I invite you to do right now is to be aware of your heart. And for now, if you're aware of where it is from the front, that's fine. If you want to actually become aware of the heart, then that's fine as well. I want you to take your right hand and put it in that area where the heart is. And what I'm going to do is invite you to make... these will be clockwise spirals from your perspective. Well, they're going from right to left. It's a circle from right to left. So you're starting low, and then you move up over the top to the left side and then down. And as you do this, you're going to be saying the words Abtek Basa. And what this will do is cleanse and clarify any vibrations that are around that heart chakra area and bring to you the invitation to your heart itself to begin to lighten up from the inside. So it literally is, as you start at the bottom, now we'll start at the top and then move to your left. Abtek Basa. And at Sa, you have made one revolution. We are going to do, okay, Spirit says 21 of these. Okay, so here we go. Abtek Basa. 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 Abtek Basa, 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 Abtek Basa. Take a breath. Go into that space for a moment. Go into the space of the heart. Somewhere along the line, we did we found that point on the very top of the heart itself at about 11 o'clock as you look out from the heart. The sinoatrial node, the point where the beat begins. Go to that place. Go to that place. And stand as if you were looking out into the stars themselves. You look out into space and you can see the complete expanse of the all that is out there, lights in the distance, twinkling. Notice the connection that from your viewpoint and your vantage point, that every one of those lights, every one of those starlights sends a beam of light and moves to you and it comes your way and it literally is reaching that point upon which you stand at the heart. All of that energy coming your way, all of that love, all of that wisdom, all of that information piercing right through your energetic self to the heart where it infuses it with all of that starlight. Sometimes late in the day, when I look through the trees, when the sun is going down, and I look directly at the sun at the low angle that it is, and I just squint my eyes just a little bit, all of a sudden it all turns into these thousands, it looks like billions of rays of light that come across as if they're coming from the point of the sun to my eyes. And it's just a beautiful process. Actually, my eyes are the point of receiving, and they come in. It is just stunning to watch. This is what's happening. These stars are not just out there for decorative purposes. They are sending us information. Every one of them carries frequencies to feed us and to connect us and to open us up to the more of what we are, to the truth of our being, to the oneness that is just around the corner. Abtek Basa. Abtek Basa. Abtek Basa. Four more. Abtek Basa. Abtek Basa. Abtek Basa. Abtek Basa. I stumbled across this process by a woman named Phyllis Brooks. You'll notice tonight we're just moving right along from one thing to the next. Be aware of your foundation. Be aware of your feet upon the earth and know, remember the yes, I can coming up through the left side, through the earth star chakra, sweeping away any vibration that is not in alignment with those two words. Yes, I can. A meditation called the Mahatma Meditation. It seemed to speak to me. The book is Living in Freedom and Love Without Conditions, New Paradigm Multidimensional Transformation. The author is Phyllis M. Brooks. Take a breath. We're going to go on a little bit of a journey. It's a short one. It's informational as well as active. The invitation here is to look inward. Look within yourself and look within your sacred heart into the space where we just opened. Look within that sacred heart, the temple of your being in this reality, your temple of connection to all other aspects of yourself in other realities, to the cosmic levels and beyond. You could just see, feel, or imagine that actually you walk through the doorway of your heart, and now you're in the temple, your own inner temple of heart. You've walked into this space at the entry point of this sinoatrial point. It opened, and there you were. And this inner temple can be manifest in any way which you may relate to. For remember, although all is one and one is all, you are an individual, so your temple can be anything you wish. Just ensure that it is a thing of beauty, a thing of harmony, a thing of balance, and a pleasing place to be for you. Take a moment to do that. you can continue working on your temple space. It's as if you're standing right inside of it. It's all around you. This is not just a visualization. You have entered within yourself. You've entered a space that you have access to. This is where your soul anchors. Your material scientific investigators are beginning to come to the conclusion that the soul essence anchors here in the physical body. This is the inner temple of your being in this reality. So now, within this temple, you could see or you could imagine that there is a nice chair or a nice seat. And if you'd like, it could be a golden throne, whatever resonates with you. And now that you're in this temple, we invite you to sit in this chair or sit on the throne or however you would like to see it as it resonates with you. And as you sit here, actually, you're sitting on the throne of God, the chair of God, the throne of the goddess, the chair of the goddess. And as you sit, just remember, prompt the memory within you, within the core of your being in this reality, that you are Mother, Father, God living in this body, and there is no separation. There really never was a separation. You are one. Always have been. Always will be. And now invite the energy of cosmic love, the cosmic divinity from the cosmic heart of source through all aspects of yourself. All aspects of you are divine, anchoring in the sacred heart, opening, channel which is blooming, becoming wider. All aspects of you are divine, anchoring in the sacred heart opening, channel, which is becoming, blooming and becoming wider. And at the same time, the cosmic love radiates from you across the world, across your earth, into all these other aspects of Mother Earth and her divinity places, dimensional levels. You know of what I speak, not with mine. You know deep within. Invite the Mother to radiate this cosmic love, this cosmic divinity of light back to you, creating a two-way flow. Send it out. Bring it in a mutual dance, in a mutual merging of energies, of this cosmic force, this cosmic vibration, this light source of which you both are made. Every time it flows from you, it amplifies, expands out. Your channel blooms and grows into the heart of the Mother Earth. It amplifies, it flows. In fact, the Sacred Heart radiates, radiates, radiates across the universe. And now let's invite all the beings in this grand cosmos to bask in these radiations from these hearts, from our hearts. It's a free choice, of course. It's only an invitation. Just as in third dimensional reality, you extend an invitation, and an individual may accept or decline, but invite them in. Invite the cosmos in to bask in the glow of this frequency that is moving from your soul center. It is the freedom granted within this universe. Intend this radiation to flow across this cosmos to every corner of it, right out of the very edges, to the very edges of it. And again, you send out a loving invitation to all animals and inanimate beings. Bask in this cosmic love. Bask in this cosmic love. coming from the source point within you. You upon your own throne. You at the seat of your magnificence, sending it out. If they refuse the invitation, just bless them and love them. It is the freedom of individuals. All ones are treading their sacred paths, their own journey, even though it may not seem like that to the ego. Hold to the awareness of this experience. We're not going to extricate ourselves from it. But what we are going to do is just expand ourselves out to be present again in the way that we were. Two-dimensional. Multidimensional. You in the process of sitting at your own throne, being a source of light to send through your own system, through all of your energy bodies, to bring it into alignment at all times and to maintain that frequency, and you sending it out into the cosmos to be basked in with no attachment whatsoever. And you who is able to be at the phone and listen and do all that is necessary to be involved in engaging in three-dimensional life on Earth. We begin our capacity to expand into multi-dimensions and be conscious of the activity in both. Allow yourself to be aware that you are in these two places at the same time. Each is rich. Each is true. In this magnificent place of where you are, inside as well as the outside, we turn our attention now to the subconscious. The subconscious is a place where it all happens. So as you send this energy out, I'm going to invite you to become aware of some different elements, and I'm going to give some information. This is coming directly from a book which was one of the main elements of establishing subconscious awareness and the power of the subconscious mind. This was a man named Joseph Murphy. It is one of the classics, and I have just borrowed some passages. Again, why rewrite? The power of your subconscious is enormous, he says. It inspires you, it guides you, and it reveals to you names, facts, and scenes from a storehouse of memory. Your subconscious started your heartbeat, controls the circulation of your blood, regulates your digestion, assimilation, and elimination. When you eat a piece of bread, the subconscious mind transmutes it into tissue, muscle, bone, and blood. This process is beyond the ken of the wisest man who walks the earth. I'm not sure what Ken means. I'll have to look that up. Your subconscious mind controls all the vital processes and functions of your body and knows the answer to all problems. Your subconscious mind never sleeps, never rests. It is always on the job. You can discover the miracle working power of your subconscious by plainly stating to your subconscious prior to sleep that you wish a certain specific thing accomplished. You will be delighted to discover that forces within you will be released, leading to the desired result. Here, then, is a source of power and wisdom, which places you in touch with omnipotence, or the power that moves the world, guides the planets in their course, and causes the sun to shine. It is no coincidence here, and this is an aside, that we brought in on the starlight, the beams of light, to interface at the point of where our heart beats, giving us the life. The doorway to the inner temple, to the place where you sit on your own throne, and now we're being told that this is the arena of the subconscious mind, which then puts into place in the physical form on the inner and outer that which you intend. Curious. Back to the writing. Your subconscious mind is one with infinite intelligence and boundless wisdom. It is fed by hidden springs and is called the law of life. Whatever you impress upon your subconscious mind, the latter will move heaven and earth to bring it to pass. You must therefore impress it with right ideas and constructive thoughts. You will find throughout all nature the law of action and reaction, of rest and motion. These two must balance. Then there will be harmony and equilibrium. You are here to let the life principle flow through you rhythmically and harmoniously. The intake and the outgo must be equal. The impression and the expression must be equal. All your frustration is due to unfulfilled desire. If you think negatively, destructively, and viciously, these thoughts generate destructive emotions which must be expressed and find an outlet. These emotions being of a, okay, and this is an old statement, negative nature are frequently expressed as ulcers, heart trouble, tension, and anxieties. What is your idea or feeling about yourself now? Every part of your being expresses that idea. Your vitality, your body, your financial status, your friends, your social status represent a perfect reflection of the idea you have of yourself. This is the real meaning of what is impressed in your subconscious mind and which is expressed in all phases of your life. We injure ourselves by negative ideas which we entertain. How often have you wounded yourself by getting angry, fearful, jealous, or vengeful? Okay, I could have read this through because there's some things being said here that I don't necessarily agree with. I don't see any emotion as a negative emotion. I see it as an expression of an energy that has information for us. It has different sensations and feelings. But when we look at it in this light, what we're seeing is that the unexpressed anger, the unexpressed fear, the unexpressed jealousy, or the revengefulness attitude have a tendency to poison the subconscious mind through the very act of repetition, focus, and emotion, because that is what implants and puts the seeds into the mind itself. Just wanted to clarify that. You were not born with these negative attitudes. Joseph says, feed your subconscious mind life-giving thoughts, and you will wipe out all the negative patterns lodged therein. And finally, he says, the first thing to realize is that your subconscious mind is always working. It is active night and day, as I stated earlier, whether you act upon it or not. Your subconscious is the builder of your body, but you cannot consciously perceive or hear that inner silent process. Your business is with your conscious mind and not your subconscious mind, he says. Just keep your conscious mind busy with the expectation of the best and make sure the thoughts you habitually think are based on whatsoever things are lovely, true, just, and of good rapport. Begin now to take care of your conscious mind, knowing in your heart and soul that your subconscious mind is always expressing, reproducing, and manifesting according to your habitual thinking. Remember, just as water takes the shape of the pipe it flows through, the life principle in you flows through you according to the nature of your thoughts. Claim that the healing presence in your subconscious is flowing through you as harmony, health, peace, joy, and abundance. Think of it as living intelligence, a lovely companion on the way. Firmly believe it is continually flowing through you, vivifying, inspiring, and prospering you. It will respond exactly this way. It is done unto you as you believe. I invite you to reread that paragraph. There's a lot there that's inviting us to remember the reason for seeing the beauty in the world, for thinking along lines that are life-affirming, because it is the law that we receive that which we focus upon. And by doing so on a continual basis, whenever we get the opportunity, we begin to build the belief system that then calls forth more of the same, because that's how we view the world. There is no question after a while, and therefore life shows up for us in a brand new way. some techniques to employ to work through, you know, to reprogram, if you will, the subconscious. He listed a few of them, and I will flesh these out right now. It's just a list. Create a new blueprint. And then I put in as if. Work as if you don't need the money. Love as if you've never been hurt. Dance as if no one is watching. Sing as if you know you won't be heard. I have this moment to be the all I am. What's done is now behind me. I feel myself expand. Oh, yeah. He also talks about true prayer, which we'll look at next week when we start with prayer. Visualization and guided imagery are powerful tools. Mental movies. I have programs that now provide me computer mental movies that I can use to keep my ideas in alignment. Deepening technique. The power of gratitude to begin to focus on how beautiful life shows up for you and to notice the things and appreciate that which has come only serves to magnetize. Because what's happening is the subconscious is believing that this to be true. And so that's what comes. The affirmative method, the using of affirmations, the decree method, the using of proclamations, using the vibrational attunement that is done by Mark Stanton Welch, those are all things you can do to work the subconscious. Whew. Next up is something called the emotional freedom technique. It's the tapping process. This can get really involved in a very quick time, but there are some basic elements of places where to tap and all of that, which you can find on your own. I took from one of the books, Abundance, Wealth, Money, Tapping Statements book, and I used a section right at the end of the book. And so what I invite you to do is I'll give you a place to tap and a statement to say. And we're just going to use that as a little bit of a reprogram and a clear. We're not doing the full process. We're just amplifying some statements through the use of tapping these meridian points that have been located along certain meridians within the body. And we'll use those as vehicles that open up the information, open up the doorway to accept the information. So if you tap the inside of the eyebrows and say, all is well in my life. All is well in my life. Go to the outside at the end of the eye around the temple. Every day in every way I'm getting better and better. That's a classic. I'm not sure I even use that one anymore because it keeps putting it out there. See, I even dropped the phone. Every day in every way I am better and better. Let's use that. Every day in every way, I am better and better. Now, directly under the eye, the pupil, we're on the cheek. I am fulfilled in every way, every day. I am fulfilled every day, every way. Directly under the nose, my blessings appear in rich, appropriate form with divine timing. My blessings appear in rich, appropriate form with divine timing. Under the lips, just at the chin, at the crease there, I am an excellent steward of wealth and am blessed with great abundance. I am an excellent steward of wealth and blessed with great abundance. At the point where the collarbones meet the sternum, on both sides, I take complete responsibility for everything in my life. I take complete responsibility for everything in my life. Under the arms, at what may be called where the bra strap is, I don't quite have a relationship with that. I was headed that way for a while, though. Under the arm, I have all the tools, skills, and abilities to excel in my life. I have all the tools, skills, and abilities to excel in my life. The top of the head, towards the back a little bit. I know I will be able to handle anything that arises in my life. I know I will be able to handle anything that arises in my life. Back to the eyebrow, the inside of the eyebrow, where they meet the bridge of the nose. All my dreams, hopes, wishes, and goals are being fulfilled each and every day. All my dreams, hopes, wishes, and goals are being fulfilled each and every day. And now at the temples, divine love expressing through me now draws to me new ideas. Divine love expressing through me now draws to me new ideas. Under the eyes, I am comfortable with my life changing. I am comfortable with my life changing. Directly under the nose, I bless this increase in my wealth, health, and happiness. I bless this increase in my wealth, health, and happiness. Under the lips at the crease, I know what needs to be done and follow through to completion. I know what needs to be done and follow through with completion, to completion. At the collarbones where they intersect the sternum, my health is perfect in every way, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. My health is perfect in every way, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Under the arms again, I invite into my subconscious Archangel Raphael to heal all that needs to be forgiven, released, and redeemed. I invite into my subconscious Archangel Raphael to heal all that needs to be forgiven, released, and redeemed. Cleanse me and free me from it now. Cleanse me and free me from it now. The top and the back part of the head, the light of God surrounds me. The love of God enfolds me. The power of God protects me. The presence of God watches over and flows through me. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is. And we move now, as we bring to a close our time, we're going to move to, I don't have the name of what this is, but the guy's name is Dr. Dane Heer. Dr. Dane Heer, or Dane Heer, he's an Australian man who came up with this particular process that has been very potent. And I'm sorry I forgot the name, but it's from him that the phrase, how does it get better than this, stems from. And what I've offered here is a series of tools that I learned through reading his work and as well as some friends who have been students of him. So I wanted to pass them on. So he says that 10 times in the morning and at night, you say, all of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. Let's say that. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. 8 more times. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. And here's a question. How did I get so lucky? How did I get so lucky? Another phrase, and this one is filled with all kinds of information, and it's got a process in it that has come from this man's work, and you just treat it, you treat it just like it is, even though it has no meaning whatsoever, the last part. Here's what it says. What would it take for me to truly receive me, love me, and care for me like the infinite being that I be? Anything that doesn't allow that, right, wrong, good, bad, pod, poc, all nine shorts, boys, and beyond. Let me repeat it. What would it take for me to truly receive me, love me, and care for me like the infinite being that I be? Anything that doesn't allow that, right, wrong, good, bad, pod, poc, all nine shorts, boys, and beyond. This section on right, wrong, good, bad, pod, poc, all nine shorts, boys, and beyond is shorthand for a series of mental processes that he went through to help clear the subconscious and to activate an inner awareness. So I'm just trusting what the guy's done, because I know that I've gotten results out of this, and I invite you to consider that. Notice that these questions are inviting the cosmos to show up for us, asking for information and revelation. And then we have, how does it get better than this? How does it get any better than this? How does it get any better than this? How does it get any better than this? How does it get better than this? How does it get any better than this? How does it get any better than this? On and on. If you've got an issue that's up, here's a strategy to use. He says, who does this belong to? If you've got an issue that you're working with, you ask, who does it belong to? Your inner being might reveal some information about its source. And if the issue runs, if you keep running up against it, you say, everything that's creating this, I choose to uncreate and destroy it all. Pod pock. And then we have, well, here's an useful statement. Well, that's an interesting point of view. Instead of, well, that sucks, you say, hey, that's interesting. And so you're in a place where you're not offering judgment and criticism. And when waking up, you say, what kind of possibilities can I create today? What else is possible? Or you can say, who am I today, and what grand and glorious adventure am I going to have? You can also wake with this idea, everything I was yesterday, I now destroy and uncreate, and therefore am brand new. Then he says 30 times for 30 days. I'm sorry, 33 days at 30 times a day. What must I perceive, know, be, and receive that would allow me to, and then you fill in the blank, to solve this issue, to get this job, to leave this relationship, to get healthy, to stop what's going on, to bring finances in? What must I perceive, know, be, and receive that would allow me to? Other questions, what's right about this that I'm not getting? What would it take for blank to show up? A good thing to ask when you're in the middle of something, is this mine? Is this mine? It could just be an energetic implant from somewhere else, not to the point that it's implanting and taking over, but it's certainly an energetic influence. He also suggested living life in 10-second increments, that that's all you're concerned about is the next 10 seconds. Put your energy into that and then live as if. Another statement, he says, just for today, my life will be a celebration. And finally, he has questions and process that are a little more involved. And you can explore those yourself because we are at the end of our time. You can see that there are almost an inexhaustible supply of processes and ways to work through various things. I've given a lot here. I've given things that you can pick and choose from. Find something that you feel connected with and start using it. Every one of the things will make a difference. So you can see that it's about being open to the idea of changing our belief systems, realizing that the belief system was put into place and it no longer serves us. It no longer serves our inner child self as well. So it's time to eradicate those old ideas, let them go, clear them out, and implant new ones. And the way to do that is to work with the subconscious mind. You have a throne of God existing in your heart now that is a source point for the cosmos. Why not use it? Why not put those beliefs in there and let the subconscious mind then translate them? But the way the subconscious is tended is through the conscious mind paying attention and doing the work. Doing the work. I had two other categories, the fertile grounds of gratitude. In other words, just be grateful all the frickin' time. There's so much to be grateful for. Create that attitude of gratitude, as the cliche says, and the universe is bound by law to give you more things to be grateful for. I've included a list of mantras and chants and intentional songs. Again, it's just a list right now. I sang from it at the beginning, but I will go ahead and flesh that out and hopefully be able to give you a link to listen to the songs. Some of you already have heard some of these and know them. Start using them. They're about reprogramming belief. According to my faith, just as I believe it, the universe shows up. That upon which I focus. What I do for you comes back. Everything I do comes back to me. My life is my message. What's occurring in the moment is the very vehicle with which I am in this world. Open, expect, trust, act. My eyes are open wide. My heart is filled with love. I am the perfect work of God. Believe that. preparing the soil, tilling it, clearing it out. You're creating fertile ground for these new ideas in the process. Every step I take is the best one. There are no accidents. Trust that. Trust that you are in the prime space, the prime place, wherever you go. It is a matter of mind and awareness. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Thank you so much for being a part of tonight and a part of this third thing in the third installment of the beliefs. We move next week into the process of prayer, conscious connection. Looking at prayer from a different place and using it as a tool which can actually program the subconscious and bring changes, inner and outer, to ourselves. So if there are any comments or questions tonight, I will do everything I can to have the link all fleshed out. Well, you've already got the link. I don't know if I'll have all of the pieces in place. So it isn't even a matter of me sending you the link. You can access it at any time from this point forward because it has all the stuff. It is chock full of goodies. I invite you to use them, enjoy them, and let them make a difference for you. Thank you for the opportunity to serve. I'm just delighted and privileged to be in a position where I can be a conduit for information that I know is really making a difference for so many of us. So, many, many blessings and much gratitude for this. I'll stand for a few moments and entertain any comments or questions. And if not, then have yourself a merry enough.
Mark?
Yes.
Hi, this is Nancy. I was wondering, what was that Egyptian again? You mentioned slightly some Egyptian.
Yeah, it was Abtek Basa, Abtekbasa. And it is a wheel that basically re-stimulates and brings the heart back to alignment in terms of its intention. And it opens up the door. And we followed that by actually going into that empowerment where we've created the temple within there. So it's just a very useful and powerful tool that's been around for a long, long time.
Okay, just double-checking. I'm in Egyptian mystery school, so thank you. That's really interesting.
Okay, this came from a woman named Nadia Eagles. She was one of the last living descendants of the direct line of the last pharaoh.
Wow.
This was in the 80s. She was running these courses, and it just burned her up, and, you know, she died.
Wow.
She just couldn't keep sustaining the energy, and I think she just said, okay, enough.
Wow.
That happened later. But there were a lot of people that were taking classes from her. I think that a woman named Nikki Scully, and there's a couple others that I've seen books from in the shamanic traditions that are coming directly from a lot of this lineage. And I think it came through her. A lot of it was kept hush-hush because still in the 80s, this stuff it wasn't usable energetically by the masses.
Wow.
Yeah, so this was one of the empowerments we did. And They're really good stuff.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I just wanted to double check on that. Alrighty.
No, you're welcome. Okay.
Hey. All right. Good night.
Good night. Anyone else? Alrighty. We are done now. Star 9.